You're listening to A New Beginning with Greg Laurie, a podcast made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Visit our website and learn more about Harvest Partners at harvest.org.
Question: what kind of world would we live in today if you were its sole representative? You are the light of the world. You.
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie reminds us we're the Lord's representatives. When they look at us, do they see Jesus?
There are five Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. You're the fifth Gospel. You're the only Bible some people are ever going to read.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
The Apostle Paul poses some essential questions in Romans chapter 10. How can non-believers call on Jesus to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out how important it is that we share the good news of Christ. It's such an important link in the chain. Important insight coming up from the Lord's Sermon on the Mount.
You are an influencer. You have a platform and you have a following. Now, it could be on social media, but in your world, you have a sphere of influence where you influence other people. So it really comes down to this: are you a good or are you a bad influence? Here's what Jesus said 2,000 years ago that is very relevant to this topic of influencing others. Matthew 5, starting in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine to others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We'll stop there. Notice that Jesus says, first we are to be salt, then we are to be light. First your salt, then your light. Why is it given in this order? Well, first as salt, I have a preserving effect. I create in others a thirst for God. And then, having acted as salt, I can function as light. And effectively, I earn the right to be heard. See? Well, I admire your life, a non-believer says. I look at your family. How do you raise kids like that? In this world today, they ask as their baby's looking at an iPad in their stroller. Are they letting their kids behave in a crazy way with complete disrespect and total irresponsibility? Or they ask you, how can you have a smile on your face when you're going through the hardship you're going through? You know, so you've been salt. Now you've earned the right to be light. Light exposes the darkness. It exposes the darkness. It's funny how in the dark you can't find something. Flip on the light and you find it. You're driving in your car at night and you're eating a burrito and you drop it and lose it. The next morning, you turn the lights on, you find that burrito and the one you lost 2 weeks ago as well, which, by the way, has become its own life form and has climbed up into your child's car seat and strapped itself in. So, but this is the thing. Light shows you things you would not otherwise see. And in the same way, when a Christian is living as they should, their mere presence in a room changes the temperature. It changes the dynamic. Here comes the salty light bulb. Hey, how's it going? I mean, they're in the middle of telling a dirty joke and they're having a good time, and all of a sudden you walk in and the conversation stops. I kind of like that. Here comes the representative of Jesus Christ. Be that salt. Be that light. Be that person that makes a difference, but don't expect a standing ovation. Jesus said, this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone who is evil practices evil, and they hate the light. They don't come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. And that can happen without you even saying a word. Listen, few things are harder to put up with than a good example. Few things are harder to put up with than a good example. When you're a good example, it drives people crazy. They want to see you mess up. They want to see you fall short so they can say, hypocrite, right? You keep your light shining. And how does that light shine? It shines through good works. Listen, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. You may win the theological debate and blow your listener out of the water. Yeah, you know what? You're smart. You had the answers, but you're mean, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. But then you can be a loving person and help someone. Let me help you change your tire. Let me help you do this thing you need done. Let me assist you. And they go, wow, I really like this person. And their heart will open up to you. So we need to show people. And I think that Christians do this so well. Yeah, we want to preach the gospel, but we'll show our good works in practical ways as well. Through our church, Harvest Riverside, Harvest Orange County, and Harvest Maui. We've done so much in this last year alone. As last Easter was approaching, we gave away 1,500 Easter baskets for little children that had really nothing. We hosted a back-to-school event in partnership with In-N-Out Burger and the Department of Education. It helped 6,000 people. We gave out 4,000 backpacks filled with things that children need, and we provided free dental care. We didn't do it ourselves. We had actual dentists doing it. I want you to know that. It'd be frightening here. All right, let me do drill. No, not that. And they were given haircuts by professionals, again, people who volunteered their time. And they were given medical screenings. And they were given free burgers and fries from In-N-Out Burger. And then over on Maui, after the devastating wildfires that destroyed so many homes and lives were lost as well, we were there offering food pallets filled with water, diapers, other necessities. We gave away hundreds of Bibles to people and prayed with hundreds of people and hosted events for families that were demoralized and devastated by the effects of that fire. We had an evangelism team go over and share the gospel, and 100 people made a profession of faith. We're all about showing it through good works, and it earns us. It earns us the right to proclaim the gospel. Let your light shine like you were the only one in the world. Let your light shine like you were the only one in the world. Look at verse 13. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You might underline in your Bible, you. He uses it twice. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. In the original language, it would imply you and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and you alone are the light of the world. Question, what kind of world would we live in today if every Christian behaved just as you do? How many would be attracted or turned off to the gospel? What kind of general opinion do you think people would have of Christianity if you were its sole representative? Now you're thinking, that's kind of a lot of pressure, Greg. Hey, newsflash. You are its sole representative in your sphere of influence in some cases. You may be the only Christian some people know. And they haven't even told you this yet, but they're watching you. And not only are they watching you, they're hoping you slip up. But when you don't slip up, or if you do slip up, you apologize for it and own it, they say, there's something different about that person. I have to keep my eye on them. You're being salt. You're stimulating the thirst. You're doing your job. Listen, there are 5 gospels. Greg, you're mistaken. There's only 4. No, there's 5, actually. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. You're the 5th gospel. You're the only Bible some people are ever going to read. They're literally evaluating Christ based on you. Oh, I can't handle that. Well, handle it. And do the best that you can, because you and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and you alone are the light of the world. Christians are walking epistles written by God and read by men.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everyone, I want you to know about our app called Harvest Plus. Think of it as a harvest version of Netflix. We have all of our resources in one place. We have our movies like Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon, Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, A Rush of Hope, and much more. Then we have our television program, daily devotions, and much more. So go and download the Harvest Plus app.
Well, we're glad you're along today for Pastor Greg's message in Matthew 5 called Make a Difference.
So let's put this all together and wrap it up. Salt is valuable. It preserves. It stimulates thirst. Light exposes and shows us the way. We do this through good works and gospel proclamation. This is who we are in this culture. Now I'm asking you, are you doing it? We're in a political season right now. And we all should vote, by the way. Every Christian should register and vote. So important. And let's get real. There's no perfect candidates. No perfect candidates. You're going to find flaws in every candidate out there. So I have to think of it this way. Are their positions, the things that they stand for, are these the positions that I hold as a Bible-believing Christian? If that's it, then sometimes you say, then I'm going to vote for them, even though they're not perfect. But we need to register. We need to vote. But having said that, don't put your hope in political solutions. Don't. Only God can change the human heart. Only God can turn our nation around. And that would require a spiritual awakening. We should all be praying for that. A.W. Tozer, a great writer from years ago, made this statement, and I quote, "Revival is that which affects the moral climate of a community," end quote. So you want to see the morality of a community affected, then we need a spiritual awakening. Some would say, well, change society and you'll get better men and women. Effectively, Jesus says, change men and women and you'll get a better society. That's why our primary efforts at Harvest are focused on the gospel and the proclamation of it and calling people to Christ. That's the best thing I can do for the United States. But more importantly, it's the best thing I can do for the kingdom of God, and it's the only thing that I'm really called primarily to do. Listen, you and you alone make a difference. You have a part to play. I heard it once said, quote, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do." So be the salt and be the light. Now let me close. Some of you listening to what I'm saying are not believers, and you are actually living in darkness. We all are before we're Christians. We don't know it because, well, it's all we've ever known. The story is told from history of a castle-like prison in Paris known as the Bastille that was about to be destroyed in 1789. There was a prisoner who had been confined there for years in this dark, dingy place. And so he was released. And he came out of his dark prison cell, and the light was so blinding, he turned back and said, "I want to be kept in the prison. I want to die in this prison. I can't handle the light." And this is the problem, is you can become too comfortable in the dark. And some people are. You ever notice how bars are so often dark? I spent a lot of time in bars. Really? Yeah, when I was a kid, living with my alcoholic mother, who seemed to live in bars. And I would sit around and wait for her to stop drinking so we could go home. But people living in darkness, they need the light turned on. And here's the problem. It's not that God will not forgive you, but it's that you could come to a point in your life where you would no longer want his forgiveness. The Bible says, "Harden not your heart if you can hear his voice." Every time you hear the gospel and don't respond to it in the affirmative, your heart gets a little bit harder. The Bible says, "He who is often reproved hardens his heart, and he will be cut off, and that without remedy." Let me paraphrase that. You hear the truth, you say no to the truth, and your heart gets a little tougher. So some people say, well, I'll come to Christ on my deathbed. Okay. Are you sure you're going to have a deathbed? For some, death comes suddenly, without warning. They don't know that day is their last day. For others, yes, they get older or they get sick, and they know that death is coming, and they're told by people to get their affairs in order so that they're ready to die. But you think those people are all open to the gospel? I would hope so, but I know some people, they've lived so long in sin, they're like that prisoner in that prison in Paris who's so used to the dark, they want to stay in the dark. So it's not that you get to a point where God would not forgive you as much as you get to a point where you would not want to be forgiven, you see, because you've hardened your heart. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to our God who will abundantly pardon. Notice, seek the Lord while he may be found. Jesus is here with us right now. He said, when two or more gather together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. He's here. And Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and paid the price for every wrong we've ever done and then rose from the dead, stands at the door of our life and he knocks and says, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Here's my question. Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? This is what you need. This is what you've been looking for. And only you can open the door of your heart, so to speak, and ask him to come in. You have to admit you're a sinner. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to say, Jesus, help. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a fresh start in life. Fill that hole in my life that I've tried to fill maybe with fame or influence or money or relationships or possessions or whatever. Lord, I need you in my life, and he will come into your life and he will change you. So we're going to close now in prayer, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus and walk out of here a different person than when you came in. So let's all pray. Father, I pray that you will speak to those that do not yet know you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and show them their need for you. Turn the light on in their life, Lord. Let them see how much they need that light so they will no longer want to live in darkness. And bring them to yourself, I pray now, in the name of Jesus. Now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying, there are some of you here that want Jesus in your life. Listen, if you want Christ to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to go to heaven when you die, if you want to fill that hole deep inside of you, if you want to be ready for the Lord's return, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus today, wherever you are, pray this prayer after me. You can pray it out loud if you like. Pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. I turn now from my sin, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Many people may remember this day when they first became believers in Jesus Christ. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie praying with those who are asking Jesus to be their Savior. And if you've just prayed that prayer and you've meant those words sincerely, we want to help you begin to live this new life of faith. Pastor Greg wants to send you his New Believer's Bible. He'll mail it to you at no charge, and it'll help answer some questions you might have and get you started off right as you walk with the Lord. So ask for it when you call 1-800-821-3300. We can take your call anytime, again, 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, it's such a privilege to have Max Lucado with us today, a pastor and best-selling author with more than 50 great books to his name. So, Max, as you researched your new book on the end times called What Happens Next, I read that you went looking for utopia, and you found it, just a little west of San Antonio. Who'd have thunk it?
I did.
Tell us about utopia.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by what the Bible calls the millennium, the thousand-year mm-hmm. reign of Christ. And as many people in researching it say, it's utopia. You know, utopia is a word we use to describe a perfect society. And yeah, there's a town about an hour and a half away from San Antonio, and it's called Utopia. So I went there just for the fun of it. There's only 260 people who live there. It's mainly ranch community. And so I went to about half a dozen folks and said, why do you call Utopia Utopia? And everybody had a different answer. The one that made the most sense, somebody with great confidence said, the postmaster did this in 1880 trying to attract people to move here. Well, let me tell you, utopia is not utopian. I mean, there's some people are wonderful, but there's some streets that need repair. There's some trees that were torn down. It was not a perfect place. But, you know, the Bible does talk about a time in our future for those who are believers in Christ, in which we will descend from heaven and we will reign with him on a perfect earth for 1,000 years. It's a wonderful, exciting topic. It's found in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. And in my mind, it's the Garden of Eden realized. It's what God intended from the beginning, and he will keep that promise that we will reign and rule with him on earth for 1,000 years. It's a fascinating topic, and I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited because we will return with Christ. We will have been raptured into heaven. We'll have been married to Christ, rewarded by Christ. And according to Revelation 19, we will descend with him.
That's right.
We'll be in glorified bodies. That is to say, bodies that will know no pain or decay. And we will reign with him, just like Adam and Eve were intended to do. We will fulfill that promise, and we'll do so. Satan will be bound. Christ will be crowned. And righteous rulers will oversee the world, and it will be beautiful.
You know, a lot of times when people think of heaven, they think of it, well, it's the caricature you see in Hollywood films or even in cartoons that a lot of people have in their minds about heaven. Tell us more about that future in the millennium and beyond that the believer will experience and what we might be doing.
Well, thank you for that question, because there's no question more important. You know, the theme of the eternal state or heaven is God's words, I make all things new.
Yes.
I make all things new. He is going to restore the beauty of the earth, to restore the beauty of the universe. He's going to restore the proper alignment in which we will serve beneath him, but reigning over creation. And he will make all things new. And we'll be joined by all the saints who have gone before.
That's right.
You know, all the saints, Abraham and Moses and Martha and Ruth and Mary. And most of all, we'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we'll have the honor, the unspeakable honor of looking at him face to face. And all our questions will be gone. And we will enjoy perfect fellowship. No more sin. No more sin. That means no more lust, no more greed, no more pride, no more wars, no more fighting. All of that will be gone.
So you're listening to Max Lucado. He's written a brand new book called What Happens Next. It's about this life. It's about the afterlife. It's about the signs of the times. It's about the return of Jesus Christ and a whole lot more. I think this may be one of the most important books Max has ever written, and I want you to get a copy of it. And we're going to send it to you for your gift of any size. So whatever you send will be used to extend our ministry. Now, some of you can be generous and send more. Others, maybe not as much. But whatever you send, we'll rush you your copy of Max Lucado's brand new book, What Happens Next.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a copy with your name on it. The book is brand new, just out this month. So thank you for your partnership in helping this ministry reach more people with the gospel. And to thank you tangibly, we'd be glad to send you What Happens Next. Just call us at 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300,
or go online to harvest.org.
Hey, everybody. Greg Laurie here. You know, making a will is something people often put off, but it's really important to plan ahead. In fact, it's so important we've designated the month of August as National Make a Will Month. That means that this is the perfect time to start thinking through your estate planning, and I'm happy to announce we've partnered with our friends at Free Will to make it easier than ever. Free Will is an easy-to-use estate planning tool that allows you to make planned gifts to organizations of your choice. It's a creative opportunity to support the work that we're doing here at Harvest Ministries as we preach the gospel and teach God's word. So as you make your plans, I hope you'll consider investing in this ministry, helping us to continue to bring God's word to our generation. You can learn more at freewill.com/harvest.
Well, next time, Pastor Greg takes us to the Lord's Prayer for a practical look at how to pray and how not to pray. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.
Thanks for listening to A New Beginning with Greg Laurie, a podcast made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for daily devotions and learn how to become a Harvest Partner at harvest.org.